I got this revelation here from Susan Cummins I'd like to share with you. It's right down the line of what we're talking about again. She prophesies here, "The power that I have given you is to be used with great wisdom." Excuse me, this is a word given to the birthed ones. The birthed ones. And she says, "The power that I have given you is to be used with great wisdom and with great reverence and with great fear. For the power that I have given you is my life itself. And it is my life that lives within you. And it is my life that will be revealed through you. My power and my wisdom I give you are to be used only as I speak and guide you to. For yes, great trials, great destruction, and great events are coming upon the world as I have shown you." Well, we know this is true. We know that God's power is only to be used as He speaks and as He guides. And the anointing that the Lord had, you must, you know, think about the anointing that Jesus had upon Him. I mean, He said, "I do always those things that I see of my Father." And He said, "As I hear, I speak." You know, the Lord had such an anointing upon Him that He knew what the Father's will was at all times. And that's the kind of anointing that's coming upon the man-child in the near future. But He's telling you here that actually this is true for us all the time, folks. We should learn to abide in Christ, which is to walk as He walked. It is to speak as He spoke. It is to, the Bible tells us, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. We need to walk as He walked. And that means we've got to slow down and cease from our works, keep the Sabbath, enter into His rest, and let Him do it through us. There's some very good exhortations in this prophecy about this. I'll read on. It says, "But you must use wisdom, and you must use discretion, and you must reverence me and not go about your own ways and release my power foolishly, but you allow me to flow freely through you as I guide you. My hand will move through you, but you must not seek as others seek. You must not see through my you must see through my eyes, as you must see what I am doing in the midst of things. For many will make false assumptions, and they will make false judgments. And when they see things happening on the earth, they won't understand what I am doing in it. For they will only look at the chaos, and they will only look at the event, and they will only look at the facts, and they will only look at the surface, and they will only see what is happening on the external. But they won't see what I am doing underneath. They won't see what I am doing on the inside. They won't see what I am working through all the events. But I want you to see what I am doing through the events. I want you to see what I am doing underneath while the events are happening." You know, some of you who've read our book, Sovereign God, realize that you didn't know that God's hand was in so many things. You know, you had an idea that maybe the devil had to do with a lot of this, you know, and that there was a kind of a war going on between God and the devil, and sometimes you just don't know who's winning, right? But when you read that book, you realized, now, wait a minute, God is the one who is sovereign, and even in iniquity and even in the wrath of man, the Bible says, "The wrath of man shall praise thee." We found out that God works all things after the counsel of His own will. And no one restrains Him from doing exactly what He wants to do, even if He uses a vessel of honor to do it, or dishonor to do it, you see. So an awful lot, what this prophecy is about is an awful lot of Christianity moves according to their mind, not according to a renewed mind of Christ. Once we see God's hand in things, we're not so quick to try to resist what's going on in every instance, you see. Sometimes, of course, God gives us authority to resist the devil, and He wants us to resist the devil. But other times, He doesn't want us to stick our nose into something that's beyond our business. You know, the Lord hadn't sent us. You understand? He wants us to listen to Him. sometimes he is behind these things. Most people nowadays, they pray that these judgments that have been prophesied and dreamed and revealed, they pray them off. They automatically pray against them. Well, did you notice that wasn't necessarily true of Jesus? Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 of the great judgments that were coming, and he never one time prayed them off. He knew they had to come, and they were necessary. And by the time they came, do you know what they did? They destroyed natural Israel, all right, but they destroyed natural Israel who was persecuting the true people of God. See, so if you just did it according to reason and you prayed off 70 AD's judgments, you know, you would have been praying against the people of God, the true people of God. Because God brought the beast upon Israel to destroy them. And Jesus prophesied it in Matthew 24. And you would have thought the disciples standing around Jesus would have said, "Oh, no, Lord, we don't want that to happen." You know, "Lord, don't let it not be," you know. And Peter tried to resist Jesus going to the cross. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You mind not the things of God, but the things of men." Well, you can imagine Peter not wanting Jesus to go to the cross. He was their great minister here that was giving them all the knowledge from God and seeing the anointing and the signs and the wonders. But they weren't seeing it the way God was seeing it, you see. So it's very easy for the mind to get involved in ministry. Most of what you see out there is the mind of man. It's not the work of the Lord. Almost all of it is the mind of man and not the work of the Lord. It's reason. It's people leaning upon their own understanding rather than slowing down, waiting to hear from the Lord, seeing what God's doing in this thing. You see, they automatically come against it. Well, folks, the judgments that are coming upon America are going to come right out of the mouth of his prophets. And what are you going to do to stop it? You know, I mean, many of God's people are out there praying to stop it. But God knows exactly what he's doing. You know, all through the Bible, when he brought these judgments upon the world, it was for the salvation of his people. It was to deliver them out of bondage in Egypt, for instance. Can you imagine most Christians being back in the days of the Jews when they were in Egypt and these judgments fell upon Egypt? They'd have been trying to pray them away, wouldn't they? Some of you don't realize that America's Egypt. Some of these judgments are coming for a purpose. They are to set God's people free. How many people do you know that have gone through some of these judgments that suddenly have an interest in God? You know? So it's not automatically always the way you think, you know, that we're here to stop judgments. All through the Bible, judgments came out of the mouth of God's people. I'm going to read on with this prophecy. It says, "Do not look at the circumstances and do not look at what you see, but ask me to open your eyes. For I will show you what I am doing in the spirit through the natural events, and you will have the keys. You will know what to do, and you will know how to be redemptive in my power. And you will know, even in the judgments that you will release, how to redeem and bring men into myself. Because you will see what my hand is doing, and you will know what I am doing. And you will walk, and you will work in alignment with me." So it's obvious in this verse here that they will bring the judgments, he said. So yes, you must keep your eyes on me. You must hear me. You must take heed to my voice, and you must not follow men. You must not follow the consensus and the opinions of others, but you must heed my voice, and you must listen and decree those things that I tell you. For I will open your eyes, and you will see, and you will speak forth my words, and I will perform them in the earth. And you will see my hand save many, even in perilous times. Do not fear, but stand and listen, and I will surely guide you. Things will not be as man thinks. Things will not be as they see. They see one thing, but they do not see that I am working in the background. And men will make false decisions, and men will get caught up in fear, and they will get caught up in the pressures, and men will make false decisions, and they will make choices ahead of my will. But I say unto you, stand firm and do not run. Stand firm and fear not. Do not run with those that will run. I say, stand and be still and silent and listen to my voice. You know what I'm talking about is things happen and people automatically let their reason take over and they run. It was like it was spoken of, I believe it was in Isaiah. It says they ran from a lion and a bear met them. You know, I mean, it is so true that people, you know, in some cases are going to run from what they think with their reason they need to run from, and they need to stop and listen to God. Stop and listen to God. It's kind of like these hurricanes we have down here, you know. People should stop and listen to God. I remember a few years ago, we had a hurricane coming right straight towards this place right here, and several of the people that were in our ministry at that time, you know, they asked me what I was going to do. I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm staying right here. I got a big angel in my front yard, and that thing's not coming here. Well, they didn't believe that. Some of them got up on the interstate and got trapped on the interstate. Got trapped on the interstate. Had to go back to their homes in the middle of the storm. Well, you know, you don't automatically run. You know, as a child of God, you know that He is sovereign, that He's got His hand over you, that He won't let anything come into your life that's not for His will. And so you just stop and you listen to Him and find out what He wants of you before you let your emotions take over. You know, she said, "For many will run and many will move and they will panic and many will succumb under the pressures. But I say, fear not. Stand in the midst of all things and listen to my voice. For my voice will tell you what to do. My voice will tell you what to do in your area. And if you take heed to my voice, I will save many in your area, and you will see my salvation. If you will take heed unto me and listen and obey me, you have learned the key to standing in the secret place. You have learned the key to be united with me, and you have joined yourself unto me, and you will clearly see as you remain abiding in me. But many have not joined me. They have not chosen to trust me, and have not given themselves completely to me. So they will falter under the flow of the world. They will falter under the fears of men and in the darkness and the things that would come upon the earth. And they will succumb to those things because they are not up in the heavenlies where I am. I say unto you, stand firm in your stance. Do not descend into the affairs of men, but remain united with me and join to me in the spirit. Maintain your place so that you can help many in the body. Maintain your peace and maintain your focus. Maintain your hearing and set your ears upon my breast. And maintain your eyes upon my face. And do not leave the place of grace that I have placed you in." Truly, folks, we live in grace through faith. Fear, whenever you move according to fear, you're not following God. You're following a demon spirit. If you react to fear, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. That's a demon spirit seeking to get you to do something stupid. Anytime you do anything because of fear, you have missed God. Okay? The only fear that you need to listen to is the fear of the Lord. And when He says, stop and listen to me, that means the fear of Him will cause you to listen to Him first. Maintain your eyes upon my face. Do not leave the place of grace that I have placed you in. For you must stand and hear my voice. You must stand when others run. You must stand when others fall. You must hear my voice and my plan, and you must speak my words when I tell you to, so that many can be saved, so that my body can stand and mature. Even in perilous times, I will raise up a wonder in the earth. Even in perilous times, I will birth my people. Even in perilous times will I cleanse them. And through the terror, I will refine them and separate them, and will they finally trust me. If you will obey me, I will use you to help them. and cause them to stand strong in the end. That's March the 18th, 2006. Amen to that. That's a good word there, folks. We need to stop, slow down. The devil is also always very impulsive. Any words that you get from God that are so impulsive, just know that's not the Lord. You know, his word comes down. It's peaceable. It's easily entreated. You know, it's not impulsive. It's not, you better undo this, you know. You know, it's peace. Because the Lord doesn't wait till the last minute, you know, where you're going to get in trouble. He lots of times waits till the last minute, but his last minute is not going to get you in trouble, you know. And so you've got time to stop and listen to the Lord before you react. And many of you know that when you have reacted to things, because of sight, because you were walking by sight or hearing, you had to come back and start again because you found you missed God. And if you're reacting to what people around you want of you, you miss God. Because even the well-meaning Christians around you will be used to try you. You know, you have to hear the voice of the Lord. You have to make sure that you know you're doing what He wants you to do. And your conscience will show you that. So be at peace, rest, cease from your own works, your own striving, your own running here, your own running there. Don't let anything that you see cause you to react to what you see. Instead of reacting to what you see outwardly, submit to what you feel inwardly. And I don't mean the fears and the torments and all those things. I mean the voice of the Lord, you know. Slow down, you know. Rather than appease these impulsive voices or appease a fear or appease any other lust of the flesh, you know, fight with them. Stop and war with them. You know? I remember when one of my children was being born at home and we discovered suddenly that this was a breach, a footling breach, you know, and that spirit of fear came in there and tried to jump on us, and we made war on him, you know, and he left. And you know what? God proved to us he could birth a baby that was a footling breach. That's breach, 1 foot up, 1 foot down. That's a pretty good miracle, ain't it, Bill? Bill knows that. So God can do anything, folks, and he just joys in doing things that are impossible. He joys in making the situation impossible so he can show you how great he is. So just remember that. When it looks impossible, that's in your favor. Think about it, folks. When the odds are against you, that's in your favor. Read through the scriptures, you'll see what I'm talking about. Israel hardly ever won a war that they were in the majority. And God whittled them down a few times to a very small minority before they could win, you know, like Gideon's situation, you know. Impossible situations. Why is it that we can only be saved by grace now, not by works, not by any strength of our own? Why is it that God's power is made perfect in our weakness? God is making impossible situations around us. Why is it that He likens the flesh to a giant, so much bigger than the spiritual man? You know, the Israelites, you know, were afraid of trying to take the promised land because of those giants, you know. That old man, the old man in the land was big, you know. It was, the odds were against him. But that's the odds God likes, you know. So when you look around you and you see impossible situations, very fearful things, that's the situation He's got you in. And He's got you there for a purpose. But if you give in to the flesh and run after the lusts of your flesh and let your emotions rule instead of ruling over them, then you miss God. And you don't get to see what He wanted to do. See? So we need to be at peace. And anytime what we see causes our emotions to rise up, we need to make war against that. You know? Well, here's another one I want to share with you. The glorious generational garment emerges. See, God's putting a new garment on His people in these days, folks. It's the righteousness of God in Christ. The people of God in these days are going to walk as Christians. They're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the glorious garment that God's about to bring upon His people. It's like that anointing, you know, that, for instance, that mantle that Elijah passed on to Elisha, you know, that garment, that anointing. And as soon as Elisha picked up that mantle, the sons of the prophets said, the spirit that was on Elijah is now on Elisha. They knew it. They saw it. You know, they could see that that anointing had fallen on him. Well, the anointing of the Lord is coming upon His people in these days. And His people are going to walk as Jesus walked. And most of Christianity doesn't believe that that's possible. In fact, if somebody does do that, they will probably treat that person like they treated Jesus in His day, right? Well, here's how it goes. It says, in each generation I move in the earth to construct a people for myself through which I will be seen. I always have an expression in the earth. During that process of construction, there is a variety of obstacles and challenges that each generation has to overcome in order to become that finished product. With the variety of obstacles and challenges also comes the insertion of free will and its subsequent choices made during the process. This adds to the overall presentation that is displayed and seen amongst the nations. The relationship between man and Creator has been separated due to sin. So the influence of sin, decay, death, flesh, and the devil has also added to the process. I have continually provided the way for men from each generation to return to me and to be restored fully to me and to reconnect their spiritual relationship and communications with me. But not all choose to return to me. Many choose to live in the lower expanse and make their abode among the carnal creation. But I am doing an amazing work in the earth in this final generation. I am gathering those who desire full my covenant relationship, and full communion with me. Those who have laid down their lives before me and have chosen to be separated from the natural carnal creation and its system of works and lifestyles, many have come to me and have heard the call and have cleansed themselves from the structural defilements of man, flesh, and sin, and have desired to walk with me in deeper ways. And that, I know that that's true for a lot of you out there that are listening in today, that you are deciding that, yeah, what you see around you is a work of man and not a work of God. And the Lord is calling you out from the midst of them to take him by the hand and learn how to be a disciple as those first disciples were. Learn how to follow the Spirit of God. And give up on the rules and regulations and traditions of the organizations of men. She goes on, I have now opened the fountains of the deep to those who have thirsted after righteousness. I have brought forth a deeper flowing of my spirit and am pouring into those prepared vessels who have cleaved unto me. I am opening up the mysteries of the things hidden from the babes and from the wolves. I am inserting the holy things of my spirit into worthy vessels who only desire me to be available to me. I am fashioning a new generational garment in the earth. This generational garment will be one of the fullness of my seven spirits, clothed within and infused throughout my body. It is a living garment, a garment of living colors, just as Joseph also was a type and a shadow of. It is time for the flaming Josephs to come forth and to rule upon their heavenly seats and govern all that is my kingdom. I am unfolding a kingdom that is eternal through earthen vessels. The kingdoms of men will be laid waste and become the kingdoms of our God. The battle is mine, and it has only just begun. The pangs of travail and the battle for the generational birth is finished, for the birthing process I have wrought is fulfilled. And as you know, folks, when prophecies come forth, they're not necessarily for that exact moment, because they're not very effective until people get to read them, right? So we're living in the time of God birthing the first fruits of what he's going to do to the whole body. Now comes the war over the truth and the kingdom seed. When the devil is cast down, great wrath is unleashed against the structures of men, and all that is not mine will suffer under that war. All that is not clothed with me and a part of me will fall under the wrath of men and of the devil. For great is the lust and the greed of their darkened hearts. The war has just begun. The generals are gathering in the heavens and in the earth. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and the final series of choices will now be made. Great is the anticipation of the heavenly hosts and the witnesses as they watch the final generation display the Lord's work in the earth. The heavenly infused robed company generation arises and assembles as all gather to the call. The greatest portions of Revelation have been reserved for those who walk in the greatest darkness in these final hours, to bring forth those who are bound in them. These great revelations are part of the many colors that are infused into the garment of the final generation company wearers. The word fully unfolded brings forth such clarity, truth, and life that it literally transforms all that it touches. The word will be displayed through earthen vessels in this final generation in such a way that has not been seen until now. And some of you know that that's true. Some of you have just been coming into grace here recently that's changed your life more in the last few months than in years and years before that. You know that this is true. You know that God is revealing things that are powerful, that are changing your life. Well, we haven't seen anything yet. That's what he's saying here, you know. There is such a need for truth and light that it demands radical change. These radical ones have been changed by the Word in such a way that it is being infused within them, and it will pour out of them as living light. Just as Moses had to veil his face when he descended from the mount with the Father, so shall they also shine as they are brought forth to be the last witness of the final hour. But there will be no veils put upon their faces in this generation, but they, openly beholding the Lord and His glory face to face, will do His will in the earth. You know, Moses went halfway through the wilderness. I looked at it literally on a map when he went to the mountain and went up the mountain, and God caused his face to shine, and he gave him a veil to wear because he was frightening the children of Israel with the glory of God that was shining out of his face, you see. Well, that's a picture and a type of what's going to happen in our day, and it's what happened in Jesus' day, you see. In our day, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that the veil is the flesh. You know, people looked in the face of Moses and they saw the glory of God shining forth, but he wore a veil. And beneath the veil of flesh, there is that glory of God. It's the only thing that doesn't frighten people around us, is the fact that we're still walking in this fleshly body, you see. But God is more and more manifesting His life, manifesting His glory inside this body, behind this veil. Some get to see that, and some don't. Some receive the revelation of Christ that they see in you, and others don't. They're permitted by the veil to ignore it, you see. But more and more, this glory is going to shine forth out of God's people. And it's going to be frightening to some, and it's going to be quite comforting and healing and delivering to others. The word will be displayed for all to see and to choose to embrace or not. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. through a generation company that is infused with the living glory of the Word. The Word will judge all men. The forces of darkness and darkened men will gnash at the light that is now going to come forth, and great will be the war thereof. It is this glorious work that I am even now introducing into the earth. I am doing a strange work, and many question its birthing. But all will see the work that I will bring forth will be me. I will live through my vessels and be seen. And that's what they saw in Moses, was the glory of God. You know, as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So as we begin to walk by faith that Christ has given this gift of himself to live in us, then we will be manifesting that glory from glory to glory. And the world will see that. That's the thing, is the true gospel has the power to change people so that Christ may be seen in them. You see? I will live through my vessels and be seen. There will be no doubt, no room for error or flesh. What I fashion is my image within my people. The images of men will fall before me as I move in the earth. I will bring forth a glorious church as I bring down all the false things and idols. The earth will know the difference between the children of God and the seed of demons and of men before I return. So the war comes, and the separation widens, and the eyesight of many becomes clearer, and the choices are made. The generational garment of the last generation will be the most glorious of all, for I will be seen in it. For all things will have been accomplished, and my eternal kingdom will be established. That's Susan Cummings' revelation there. So, yep, we're coming to an awesome day, folks. Some of you have already started to enter into it, and you're just rejoicing in what the Lord is blessing you with. And I am too. Praise be to God. God's not finished yet. He's just started. I'm going to read to you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. God is going to give grace in our day to believe the words that they didn't even believe when they were spoken. They didn't even believe when Paul spoke this. They weren't entering into the kind of faith that the Lord is going to release in these days for God's people to believe and understand and believe what he spoke. Verse 11, to which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. Do you think that's possible? Every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. Well, that's what he's praying for here, and we know that that's going to happen in our day. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, there isn't anything that the grace of our God can't do in us. And of course, that grace is imparted to his people who have the faith to believe it. We can't wait till we see it around us. If we want to go forth and bear fruit, we're going to be in the minority of Christianity. And we can't wait till we see it around us to react to it and walk in it and to believe it. We just have to believe it as we see it. And God's going to give the grace, because these are the days he's talking about. The day when he said that his people would believe these things. They would take hold of this grace. Awesome work that God's about to do in manifesting himself in his people. Glorifying himself in his people. He will once again walk the earth. He will once again minister to his disciples. He will once again, through those disciples, minister to other disciples. He is coming. And as he said, on the morning of the third day, he is coming. He is coming to save his people from bondage in Egypt. like Moses, who went in the power and the authority and the will of God, you know, and like Jesus, who came in his day. And he promised to come again as a baby born to a woman, a man child born to a woman. He promised to come again. So once again, we're going to see the ministry of Jesus in the earth, all over the earth, matter of fact. And of course, this is going to cause a great warring against the kingdom. Now, the devil is going to be given authority to make war against the saints, but the saints win. We win. Just like Jesus won, we win. Praise be to God.